We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Joe DeCamera and John Ritchie, 94 WIP. In past weeks, Miles Sanders has been with us every Monday at 1 o'clock. We've enjoyed having him on the show this year. He will not be on today's show. We're not surprised. When a player gets injured, a lot of times, and certainly he was injured yesterday, a lot of times their Monday schedule changes dramatically, obviously, as they try to get down to the nitty-gritty of the injury. So an MRI, as we know, was happening today for Miles Sanders, and so he will not be on today's show. You know, hopefully we can have him on tomorrow's show. We don't really know. It's also a short work week for them going into a Thursday game, so we'll just have to see when we get to tomorrow whether he'll be on the show tomorrow or this week or not at all. We shall see. We certainly hope he's not out too long and banged up too much. And it is amazing how many guys got injured again yesterday and how many they're dealing with this season. To the phones, 215-592-9494. We'll also get to the bad award up ahead, what Angelo would affectionately call the pigeons from the game. Certainly there were some of them. To the phones, let's go to Lenny in Warminster. Hey, Lenny.
Good afternoon, guys.
Hi, Lenny.
Yeah, how you doing?
Medium.
Right.
All right, listen. I just want to make a comment for all the Wentz bashers. Have you watched Aaron Rodgers, by the way, in the last, yesterday's game? In the first half, he gave up 14 points, two picks, right? Mm-hmm. The week before, I believe it was, overthrowing people, underthrowing. Come on, nobody's perfect.
Yeah,
that's a tough position to play.
Aaron Rodgers has been affected by pressure. No, he's all over the place and wonky with his footwork because he's expecting pressure when there is none because he's had some, repeatedly throughout the game. It's amazing that Carson Wentz is somehow able to put together a game like he did yesterday where he was accurate for Carson.
I agree. Yep.
With as much in his face as he faced all day.
There you go.
It's almost, the sad part of this is it's almost like Carson is getting good at playing when his teammates are bad because he's got so much practice doing it. Like, you would never expect a top-flight quarterback to have to deal with what he has to deal with on a regular basis. So now when other quarterbacks, the great ones, are faced with a similar situation, they look a lot worse than Carson does under the same circumstances.
Well, I hear you. I do hope, though, that the Hightower drop tells people when Deshaun's ready to go, put him in there. Because, we get those calls, and John, you've yourself championed it at times. Like, don't play Deshaun when he's healthy. And it's like, how can you not play him when he's healthy? Hightower dropped the ball.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Didn't that hit you in that moment when Hightower dropped that ball?
I've actually stopped thinking about Deshaun and Alshon members of this team because they're certainly not laying it on the line for us.
By the way, I wasn't happy. Doug, he was not particularly specific when asked about a lot of the injured players today. And again, with the guys that got hurt yesterday, he said it's too early because he hasn't met with the medical staff. And then the guys that did not play yesterday, he was then asked, well, what about those guys? Like, the fact that Doug attached the term optimistic to Alshon and Deshaun, just stop. All right? Like, stop telling us you're optimistic if they're never going to play. Just stop that. Like, I, as an Eagles fan, am now – because I was really hoping that Deshaun would play yesterday. I really thought he could have made a difference. And having seen the game the way it played out, I think I was right that he could have made a difference. But he didn't play. They did lose. Hightower did drop the ball. And so here's my mindset as an Eagles fan about Deshaun and Alshon now. I am now pessimistic every week until I see them play. So no more,
exactly
no more, no more optimism on this end. Play a game, and then we can go forward. But I am pessimistic about their status until I see them play a game. Let's go to Mike in South Jersey. Mike, you're on WIP.
John and Joe, how are you guys doing today?
Doing all right, Mike.
Trying to figure out life, Mike.
So I have an interesting take on Doug Peterson's comments for yesterday about when he was kind of defending his players and sticking up for them so elaborately. I think this is an indication of the growing divide between Howie Roseman and Doug Peterson. And what I mean by that is, you know, Doug is effusively sticking up for his guys when he knows that they are not equipped and or capable of performing the tasks that they're being asked to perform. Now, you couple that along with all the injuries and, you know, it's things that they've had to deal with on that front, and you get the perfect mixture of a disgruntled coach working underneath of a general manager that clearly is somewhat of a control freak.
By the way, Mike, I totally buy your theory. I got to tell you, listening to these Doug press conferences, I think he's really tired of being put in a position to play with compromised players.
Yeah, I think it's really, I mean, you really have to kind of read into the tea leaves to see this, but it's the growing rift between Doug Peterson and Howie Roseman. And ultimately, Doug will be the fall guy at the end of the season if things continue to, you know, spiral out of control like they do every week. And it's unfortunate, but it's the reality of the situation.
Mike, it's an interesting theory, man. Appreciate the phone call. I mean, you can't prove it. It's not a math equation. 1 + 1 = 2. We don't know it for sure. We don't know what happens inside the NovaCare complex when Howie and Doug talk or when either one of them individually gets the owner's ear. I mean, think about that. There are conversations Howie has directly with Jeff Lurie. There are conversations Doug Peterson has directly with Jeff Lurie without the other in the room. What are those conversations like? Like, what really happens when Howie gets a chance to talk to Jeff?
Sure.
And what really happens when Doug gets a chance to talk to Jeff?
Right.
I know this.
And who does Jeffrey believe?
I know. Again, I'll say.
Because I guarantee they're both selling the other out at this point. There's no question in my mind.
Well, they might not be selling each other out, but they might be
If you're Doug, you're trying to protect, you know, your job security, right? And when you have that private conversation with Jeff after a game, and you know he's focused on the offense and saying, man, it was absent for three quarters.
Yeah.
You don't think Doug's saying, well, listen, I'm doing the best I can with what I got. Did you see the guys I had blocking for Carson today? Did you see the guys I had running routes?
Right.
That has to come up.
I think it has to come up, too. Let's talk to Chuck in South Jersey. Good afternoon, Chuck.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Doing all right.
John, Joe, and James. My question, if I was had to ask Doug questions at a press conference, would be, are analytics telling you not to play Fulgham in probably the entire first quarter and half of the second quarter? Or is it something going that is
– Well, I don't think that – well, just real quick, that didn't happen, right? It wasn't like Fulgham was on the sideline the first quarter and half
of the game. Well, he wasn't targeted at all.
Fulgham played 81% of the snaps.
Yeah, Fulgham played, man. I mean, that's
– Sorry,
yeah,
all right. Yeah. Let me rephrase that. He wasn't targeted until
Well, remember how many offensive line breakdowns they had. I mean, for what it's worth, there were so many plays, including early in the game, when the play couldn't even really develop because Carson was under such massive pressure.
Yep.
I don't think there's much to that, Chuck. I don't think they being Doug or Carson, intentionally did not seek out Fulgham in the first half. I think that's just how it played out, just based on circumstances.
Okay, now you have Fulgham, you got Hightower. Which guy are you putting out for the fly pattern?
Well, Hightower clearly has some speed. I mean,
Who catches the ball between Hightower and Fulgham?
Yeah, but you don't know. But you don't know if Fulgham gets open 50 yards down the field. To be fair, I mean,
he has not.
I'll tell you what, I'll take my chances.
Too open, but it doesn't matter. He's been making good plays on the ball. You know, yesterday the Ravens did a good job of disrupting his eyes.
Whose eyes?
Fulgham. I mean, he had a ball bounce off his face mask.
Right.
He had even the touchdown that he caught. It was not a clean catch.
I mean, they have good defenders. I mean,
they have guys who are getting their hands in front of the flight of the ball, and it is distracting him. It's not easy to catch a ball when you got hands in front like that, but he definitely has a lot of work to do to get that part of his game a little bit cleaner. But no, there's no question. If I had to choose between a guy to throw the ball to, it's Travis Fulgham.
No question. Yeah. But again, on that play, for all we know, Fulgham was probably an underneath route. I mean, let's put it this way. Do you want to have a play where John Hightower runs an underneath route and Fulgham runs 50 yards down the field? I mean, there's a good chance.
Always scored with Fulgham in that capacity.
One time. I understand. You're talking about the San Fran game?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, he's a possession receiver.
Right.
And he doesn't get separation. He's a guy who boxes out to get his catches, and he does a good job of it.
Yep.
And I think if and when Alshon gets back, Fulgham will be the better receiver of those two. So it's not even a contest between him and John Hightower.
No, it's not. By the way, the Ravens, you mentioned for a moment there the Ravens, and they defended Fulgham. And one thing that stood out, and I know, look, John Harbaugh has a lot to dig in on his team about, because they clearly were messing up in the second half and let the Eagles back in the game. But with that said, one thing as a football fan, not an Eagles fan, but as a football fan that I appreciated watching yesterday in that game, John, was the attitude that the Baltimore Ravens defenders have on the field as far as just
– the ball belongs to them, right?
The ball belongs to them. The way they celebrate together, it's ferocious. I mean,
wouldn't it be cool?
They play
to
with
have
attitude.
That?
They play with the kind of attitude that you want a defensive team to have.
Well, that's what wins football. That's what wins football games, and that is what's undermined when you've got a guy who's banged up, but capable of walking to the sideline and decides to stay down anyway.
Right.
I'm telling you, that is not – once upon a time, that was not acceptable in the NFL. And now, for whatever reason, it's like we've got all the guys on our team who like to take a break.
Yeah, there's a lot of that. And the Ravens –
Fletcher Cox does the same thing.
Yeah, Ravens played mean, angry, and nasty.
Right.
And look, the Eagles came with
it, too.
And
it's not a front. If we play mean, angry, and nasty, I feel like it's a clever ruse that we're pretending to be that team.
All right, let's get to it. It's a good time now to segue. If you know our show through the years, when the Eagles win, we give you the Bed of the Bone Award, and we celebrate the victory and compliment some of the players that really helped it happen. This year, we've now been forced, because there's only been one win, we've been forced to flip it to the Bad Award. When they lose, it's the Bad Award.
So here's this.
All right, not bad. Not bad, James. God bless you. That's really good. Not bad to the bone, just actually bad. John Ritchie, do you want the first crack here? I got a number of names on a note card in front of me. I might hand out multiple, but who do you want to hand the bad award to first?
Well, an easy target is Jamon Brown.
Yep.
Just awful. Hopefully we'll never see him out there again, but we might have to see him. I'm going to go with a guy that we were depending upon, and we've been depending upon all year long. Our all-pro tight end, Zach Ertz. It seems something was amiss when in week one of the season, he only caught 42.9% of the balls thrown his way. There was a real disconnect between him and Carson, right? Just, like he wasn't setting it down against his zone. Carson was throwing it to where he expected Zach to be, and Zach never got there. And then, 42.9%, that's very un-Zach and Carson-like. And then the last 2 weeks against Pittsburgh, he caught 16.7% of his targets. This week, he caught 40%. Like, it was worse than it was in week one. There is no connection between these two. Zach Ertz, now for the season, has 178 yards receiving. He had 10 targets yesterday. only 4 catches for 33 yards. We were depending upon him because we were wiped out from a talent perspective at those skill positions.
Yep.
We needed him to step up, and the opposite is occurring. Richard Rodgers, who had to get in there and actually like run routes.
And did okay.
He caught 33 yards worth of passes. Zach Ertz caught 33. Richard Rodgers caught 31. Like, Richard Rodgers is not good. He is not acceptable. Like, it's amazing that he's even out there. And that's the same level of production that Zach Ertz is now giving you on a regular basis. This is, and we've talked about the way I felt about him staying down on the field when he could have easily gotten off to the sideline.
Yep.
The guy's soft.
Seltzer, the bad award. Where are you going?
Well, I would like to give it to Howie Roseman. As you said before, I do put this loss on Howie. But if I'm going to pick a player, I will take the easy way out. Jamon Brown had about as bad a game as I've ever seen a guard have. It's hard to look that bad from that position. We talk about this all the time. Like, tackles, you can notice when they look bad.
Yeah.
Jamon Brown found a way to look absolutely horrendous at guard. I'm with you. That guy could never play again for the
Eagles. All right, so I'll say something about Jamon Brown in a moment. But first, because
Hold on. I want to talk about a play action sure. where Jamon Brown ended up trying to pull, and he just got knocked on his keister by Calais Campbell. And then Zach Ertz was coming along to try to clean up because that was his job on that play. And not only did Zach Ertz not even touch Calais Campbell, he ended up avoiding Calais Campbell and another free hitter who both went and destroyed Carson Wentz. So just wanted to work that.
I appreciate him working that in. I'm going to start. It's amazing. And I'm not ripping you two guys. You two guys, bad award. And you didn't even mention the name John Hightower.
I thought about it.
And I'm not ripping you. John Hightower, you have to catch the ball, okay? You have to catch the ball.
And catch it with your hands. Stop trying to trap it against your body.
I mean, that ball was perfectly thrown by Carson Wentz. Third play of the game. They're already, like, behind. They're in, like, a third and 18 or whatever the heck it was. Catch the ball, okay? If he had caught the ball in that moment, if he had caught the ball versus Pittsburgh last week, maybe, they win both games. Maybe. Catch the ball. All right. Howie, for obvious reasons, roster deficiency, the medical staff, which you really got to wonder about with all these injuries. Arcega Whiteside, I mean, I hope that there's not many more games we can even mention him on the bad side because I really hope he's cut soon. Maybe he's a nice guy. He's got to go. He's a horrible NFL football player. And, yes, Jamon Brown. And I agree with you, James. Every once in a while, a game happens where a player looks so bad, you say to yourself, it might be the worst game I've ever seen an Eagle play.
Yep.
I mean, I felt that way. Some people my age and older will remember Pat Ryan played a game for the Eagles in 1991 on Monday Night Football against the Redskins. And I, for those that didn't see it, I can't put into words how bad he was. I can just tell you it was the worst quarterback play I've ever seen an Eagle game have.
Winston Justice is another example.
Winston Justice would be an example against Hugh Manure that night. Every once in a while, a player has a game so bad, you actually wonder if it's the worst game an Eagle's ever played. That's how I felt about Jamon Brown yesterday. It might have been the worst game an Eagle's ever played.
Yeah.
And by the way, I don't know if you guys notice it. I think he's the guy on the telecast right before they cut off yesterday that was on the field yucking it up with a player on the other team.
Oh, you don't have to think about it. Everyone tweeted out the pictures. It was him and Lamar Jackson.
Yeah.
He took a picture with him, like thumbs up, smiling.
And not only, I mean, you want to give the hello. Cool. People do the hello. You know each other. Maybe you played college ball. Maybe you crossed paths in the pros. Whatever. Hello is okay. Don't yuck it up too much, but hello is okay. Don't pose for a photograph. He posed for a photograph on the field after the game. Dude, no. So someone else has to start. And I'll go to old man Peters. I'll go to he stinks Pryor. I mean, I'll take Antone Davis back in there if you have to. I mean, give me Lester Holmes. Give me anybody.
Danny Watkins.
I'll take Danny Watkins. Jamon Brown can never play for the Eagles again. All right, to the phones. So that is the bad award. It's got Ron and Monco. Ronnie.
Yo.
Ron.
How you doing? Pretty good. Beautiful day.
You know what, man? We're doing the best we can. How about that?
Yeah, well, man, listen. This, you know, we, my prediction of the game score was 31-6, Baltimore. Okay. I'm surprised, absolutely surprised, that the quarterback made it through that onslaught and that we managed to get that many points, period. But something, I'll tell you, you know, especially what we got on the field and then all the injuries. I knew the injuries were going to happen. I thought that the quarterback was definitely going to get carted out this game. This is the one that I was worried about.
Yeah, a lot of people, let me just jump in, Ron. A lot of people, I don't want to say a lot, but some people were calling for Carson to be removed for his safety.
The announcers, Charles Davis said it.
Which I was not for at all.
Did you hear what the National guy said about him getting beat up all year and something's got to change?
Yeah.
You're talking about what Boomer said at halftime. Yeah, Boomer at halftime was pretty strong on that.
Yeah, well, listen, man, you know, I'm telling you, the little speed that we got on this team is our two running backs, and we ain't using them right.
No.
These guys are Westbrook-type guys. These are not guys between-the-tackle guys.
Well, who are you talking about? You're talking about Sanders and Scott?
Yeah.
Too bad we only run one play.
You got to get them out in space. Whatever you got to do to do it, you got to do it. They did it last year in the last 4 to 5 games. You saw the speed on the outside, in the flats. You know, the play calling is just – I don't care if he's got a good team, a medium team, or a bad team. The man can't call a game. He can't call a game. And that quarterback sneak to get in there, and they got he got tangled up with Scott. I mean, this is just – this guy's – he's bad.
What are you talking about? You're talking about the read option, two-point conversion?
Yeah, the read option. Yeah.
Listen, Ron, that one – and look, appreciate the call.
It was atrocious.
It didn't bother me as much as many others. It was horrible. The execution, I mean, it was snuffed out by Baltimore, but it is a fairly common play to run in that spot.
They snuffed it out. And
I know they
listen,
did.
Listen, if it's Lamar Jackson that's your quarterback running it, then – maybe if Jalen Hurts that's your quarterback running it, then maybe. But you just tried it with Jalen Hurts after the first touchdown on a 2-point conversion,
yeah.
And they defended it perfectly. So why do you go back to the exact same play with a lesser athlete keeping the ball that they defended perfectly?
Well, maybe
in the same game.
Maybe because he doesn't trust Jermon Brown to block. If he is a normal drop back,
if you don't
three
trust
receivers,
him to block, then Carson takes the snap and bolts to the right sideline while people run routes.
That's the only other option.
Carson the chance to either run it in if it's there or put a little dink pass to someone.
I agree. Those are the two options. But anyway, James, what do you got in there?
So Miles Sanders, a bit of a cryptic tweet just a couple minutes ago, tweets out, "Adversity visits the strong but stays with the weak. I'll be all right." So not great, if I had to interpret. I don't think –
Well, we know it's a knee. We know that he had to get an MRI. We know that he stayed in the next play, you know, so.
Jay Glazer on Fox last night said that the Eagles were more concerned about Sanders' MRI than about Ertz's, for what it's worth.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and you guys are assuming he's referencing the injury, which he probably is. There's a chance he means it related
to the team. Yeah, it's
could
possible.
Be a team related.
He said,
tweet.
I'll be all right.
He's probably talking about his injury.
I think so, too. And it's the kind of thing I think he'll miss a couple weeks with.
Boston Scott and Corey Clement better get ready to go back in the time machine.
Yeah.
I mean, seriously, both of these guys this year, my God. I mean, Corey Clement in 2017 really showed something, and Boston Scott last year really showed something.
Think about the way this offense looked without Miles Sanders.
Well, it calls into question whether the Eagles should be a 6-point favorite against the Giants.
Week one, well, they're not going to be anymore. Week one, we played the Washington Redskins without Miles Sanders.
Yeah.
We lost to the Redskins.
Yeah. Yeah. I hear you.
It's no longer going to be a 6-point.
Joe DeCamera and John Ritchie up ahead at 1:30. Again, another chance for you at 1:30 today to win the new Nest Audio from Google, a very cool giveaway we're doing for a month on our show. We'll tell you more about that. Again, 1:30, a chance to win that. Also up ahead, just because, you know what? Hope does sort of lie in this game. We will examine the game tonight, the Dallas Cowboys and the Arizona Cardinals, the impact on the Eagles in the division. And it doesn't mean if Dallas loses that the Eagles are good, but it does mean that they're more in it than not if Dallas loses. So we'll touch on that game and we'll certainly rock all your phone calls related to the Eagles' latest loss again from yesterday. Joe DeCameron, John Ritchie on WIP.
Refinancing your home loan is an important decision, and it's a decision you should consider now while rates are so low. If you're like me and you're not sure about refinancing your home loan or even how to get started, look no further than Trident Mortgage Company. The experts at Trident want to help secure the best rate for you. I called Trident. They hooked me up with Sean Logue. He helped me identify all the key pieces to know while applying for a refinance. My credit score, taxes, the costs of refinancing, and the best part, I didn't spend any money out of pocket. He streamlined the process. It quickly went from something I thought might be overwhelming to an easy way to save serious money on my mortgage every month. Call Trident Mortgage Company today and learn more about refinancing your home loan. Find everything you need at TridentMortgage.com.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.